Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the conference call organized by Estácio Participações to discuss the results for the second quarter of 2012. The audio and slides are simultaneously webcast by the internet through the company's IR website, www.estacioparticipacoes.com.br/ri. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will begin with a Q&A session, and other instructions will be given. If you need any assistance during the conference call, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as to the date that they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in the light of new information or future developments. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Rogério Melzi, CEO and IR Director. Mr. Melzi, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, and good morning. Welcome to our conference call to discuss the results of the second quarter of 2012. I'm here with our team to present our results to the market. With me also is Mr. Virgilio Gibbon, the CFO, who will assist me in today's presentation. I wish to remind you that at the end, we'll have a Q&A session. This is the first time that we are holding a call simultaneously in Portuguese and English. This change comes actually in answer to our investors and analysts and shareholders to lead us to have this, and this call is forwarded by one day. We hope that you all enjoy this new form of communication and disclosing our results, and this will allow other officers of our management to participate in these calls, as not all are comfortable in English. Today, we will only have Mr. Gibbon and myself because this is a test. It's a pilot. At the next conference, we will have other members, other officers, which will help us to communicate with you. Starting on slide number two of our presentation, which is on our website, we will see the results of our second quarter, showing that our growth and the margin showed the first quarter have come to stay and showing a new trend to expansion of 300 basis points regarding the first one. Estácio's net revenue this quarter was 341.4 million reais, an increase of 17.8% over the same period last year. This revenue growth was only possible due to the growth of the student base and increase in tuition fees, which in turn is only possible because of the improved perception of the quality of our product and infrastructure and increasingly better services provided to our students. This revenue growth was once again accompanied by the strong growth of both EBITDA and EBITDA margin. Thanks to our management model and the implementation of the academic model, which continues to increase its share of the student base and our increasing capacity to plan and control faculty costs, whose efficiency gains increase sharply every day, our personnel costs declined significantly once again in comparison with the same period last year. Though the loan loss provision was higher during this quarter, other expenses were kept under control because of the use of tools and matrix budgeting and internal benchmarking, and also the centralization of transactional activities in our shared services center. Our EBITDA grew 67.4% over the previous year, and our margin climbed 3.4 percentage points over the second quarter of 2011, thus confirming our expansion rate of 300 basis points regarding the first quarter. In fact, it was just not above because of the increase in the first quarter or the first half of the year. If it were not this decoupling because of the increased delinquency in the previous year, our expansion pace in this year would have been between 5 and 6 percentage points regarding the previous one. Our net income was $15.1 million, a significant 91.1% increase over the same period of the previous year, especially because of the 67.4% growth in EBITDA, which offset the increase in financial expenses on account of the repayment of the loans taken in 2011. As a result, our earnings per share increased from 0.09 to 0.18 reals, which is a 100% increase over the second quarter of 2011, reflecting our capacity to deliver excellent results with limited capital investments. Speaking of capital, our operating cash flow in the second quarter was positive, with cash generation of 24.7 million reals as against a loss of 31.9 million reals in the same period last year. The positive cash flow of almost 57 million regarding the previous year is a direct result not only of the significant amount of our EBITDA, but also the better management of cash and the fierce processes, showing our capacity to react and generate cash and delineating a generation cash scenario which will be much better in the next cycles. We are also continuing with our policy of acquisitions, and we have entered three states where we were not present and strengthening our presence. With the acquisitions of Ibers and Unior, we entered Paraíba. With the acquisition of Frags, we entered Rio Grande do Sul. And with the acquisition of the Faculdade de São Luís, we entered Maranhão. So we already have 8,300 students in strategic places. And we are convinced that we will be able to leverage local operations with all our branding, with our product line, and with our integration and management methodology, already proven previously, always building on good practices, good values, and the excellent team that we have in our new units. And also with our good financial results, we will continue to build the best higher education institution. We continue to develop our internal climate, holding events like our annual faculty forum, bringing together 500 teachers in Rio de Janeiro last week to discuss trends in higher education. We proceed with new initiatives which have to do with the satisfaction of our students, implementing novelties like the centralization of requirements and practically reducing our response to students' backlog in Brazil as a whole to zero. We focus totally on the quality of our product, working always harder to improve our concepts and implementing novelties, like, for example, the launch of Didatica, our social network, which works on our virtual environments. We never tire of improving our processes to maximize the use of our shared services center and seek more synergy and internal efficiency. Just recently, we have made efforts to increase or strengthen the team that takes care of the new acquisitions so that there can be a smooth transition to Estácio. And for 2 months, we are running a high-level strategic plan to understand the trends of higher education in Brazil and thus to find a better strategy for Estácio 2020. Here, we like short-term results, of course, but we like better to do this without surprises and without shortcuts, always on a solid basis and without bragging and with much determination throughout many successive quarters. Now I'd like to ask Virgilio Gibbon, who is going to give us further details on our results. Thank you very much, Melanie, and good morning, everybody. On slide number 3, we have the evolution of our student basis, which closed the second quarter with 260,800 students. We closed the quarter with, in the on-campus segment, 212,400 undergraduate students, which is 3.84% more than the same period of the previous year, maintaining the organic growth. Considering the on-campus undergraduate segment, the student base was 198,000, a growth of 5% over the previous year. I'd like to point out that the same shops concept, excluding the Paraguay operation, the acquisitions of 2011, the growth would be 6.8%. Distance learning base grew 33.2% over the same period of previous year to reach 45,300 students. Net operating revenue totaled 341 $1,400,000 in the second quarter, an increase of 17.8% over the second quarter of 2011, due to the growth of the student base and the increase of our average ticket during the period. The on-campus average ticket increased 10.2% on the on-campus, again reflecting our strategy of increasing the tuition fees, which is very possible with the perception of quality of our product and the perception of our quality services. Now, moving to slide 4, we see a vertical analysis of cash cost, which registered a margin gain of 5.2 percentage points in the quarter, mainly due to the significant reduction in personnel costs, once again reflecting the efficient control of faculty costs and the end of the INSS step-up process, which more than compensated for the already expected increase in textbook material costs on account of the penetration of the academic model in the student base. Here it is important to note that the significant gain of 3.4 percentage points in the personnel line over the same period last year was due to the strict control in the makeup of groups and better academic planning resulting from the mature state of the faster academic model. The gain in the rentals line reflects greater efficiency in building occupancy with the growth of the student base and strict control over contract renewals with partners. Slide number 5, we would like to show you the SG&A expenses. In the second quarter, 2012, SG&A expenses accounted for 12% of net revenue, a 1.3 percentage point margin gain, mainly due to the 0.4 percentage point gain in third-party services thanks to stricter budgetary controls, and a 0.5 percentage point gain in provisions for contingencies due to a reversal caused by our performance in lawsuits. Selling expenses account for 14.2% of net revenue in the second quarter of 2012, causing a 3.2 percentage point reduction in the margin in relation to the previous year, mainly due to the 2.8 percentage point gain in the ratio of the lost loan provision, reflecting the scenario of delinquency in the second half of last year, already mentioned, and which was captured through our provisioning criteria. Moreover, the beginning of provisioning for the FIES receivables in the first quarter caused an increase in this line, as it anticipates the provision of these students, while our general provisioning criterion waits 180 days to constitute the provision. The increase of this LLP is our policy to combat delinquency. We decided not to renew students that had high delinquency and low academic marks, so we have better payment and improved our collection of tuition fees. This has improved our working capital in the period, which we will talk about later, and the capacity to renew our student base. And on slide 6, we have our accounts receivable. Our net PMR, excluding the balance provision for loan loss provision, stood at 66 days in the second quarter, one day less than in the first quarter of 2012. The reduction in accounts receivable reflects the excellent work in contract amendments, transfer, and a buyback of fee certificates in the second quarter. Even with this seasonality of and because of our good management, the reduction of one day is an excellent result. The average receivable day, it shows the an excellent result, a reduction of 6 days in the average collection term regarding the first quarter. And this is directly related to greater efficiency in the management of the FIES process. This quarter, our management of FIES merits special attention. We managed to convert our FIES receivables into certificates, thus reducing our FIES receivables by 18.9 million, despite 7,300 more students in our base. We also managed to resolve the issue of the debt clearance certificate of SISIS and participate actively in the FIES certificate repurchase programs, besides using them to pay federal taxes. On slide 7, we have the aging of our receivable, and the lowest level since December of 2010, with a conversion of $110 million worth of fee certificates into cash in the first half, whether in payment of taxes or repurchase auctions. Consequently, the average fees receivable days in the second quarter stood at 60 days, which is 106 days lower than the first quarter of 2012, our best result since the launch of the program. With this scenario, we think that the level of our CS receivables, which is 36 million, one and a half or two times the monthly income of FIAs, will lead to the sustainable basis of the FIAs in our organization. On slide 8, we have the cash flow or the receivables. We continue with our credit policy, not allowing the expansion of our basis of students, which might put in the risk, the solvency. And thanks to our rigorous debt negotiation policy, in the first quarter, only 9% of the total receivables came from renegotiations with students, as shown in the table at the bottom of the slide. A representation or a reduction of 3 percentage points vis-a-vis the same period last year. In addition, the percentage of receivables past due for more than 60 days accounts for 32% of all agreements. That is to say, only 3% of our accounts receivable portfolio, maintaining the excellent numbers registered in the first quarter of 2012. Our criteria remain strict, clear, and objective, as we provision for 100% of receivables past due for more than 180 days. As mentioned in our earnings release, the provisioning for possible delinquency of fees is being done as follows. 2.25% for students with guarantors. This is a conservative figure, that the future loss of fees portfolio will be 15%, which is approximately three times higher than the historical loss of the ex-fees student portfolio. The provision was constituted considering 15% of credit risk over 15% of delinquency. 7% for students who are part of the Fees Guarantee Fund, which is the Fisher Duke, until March 2012. As from April, it will be 5.63% for students who participate of the new FIAs, the Fisher Duke, with the new instruction which came out in April. In slide number 9, we have our cash flow for the first quarter. On the right, we can show that the working capital variation was 12.4 positive, added to the capex net of acquisitions, which amounted to 26.2 million, a sum of 13.8 million of our EBITDA was consumed, generating a positive operating cash flow of 24.7 million, compared to a negative 31.9 million in the first quarter of 2011. In other words, an improvement of approximately 57 million over the same period the previous year, reflecting our higher cash generation in 2012. The variation of our working capital is basically due to 10.5 million decrease in accounts receivable in the second quarter of 2012, resulting in a positive operating cash flow before capex of 50.9 million in the quarter. In the second quarter, or investment and acquisitions of 21.2 million consumed part of the positive cash flow, and together with a negative financial result of 8.6 million and variation on other accounts, all of which contributed to a reduction of 15 million of our cash balance, which closed the period at 167.7 million reals. On slide number 10, the first half of the year as a whole gives us an operating cash generation of 38.5 million compared to a negative generation of 38 million in the same period the previous year. That is a growth of 76.2 million reals. This improvement leads us to three conclusions. Our management model is mature enough to allow us to direct the company's efforts to any indicator which we consider important, and to obtain results in a short period of time for such a complex organization. As our EBITDA grows in accordance with our plans, at the same time as we better control our working capital, our operating cash generation grows proportionately, since the need for capex, net of acquisitions, does not increase at the same pace, which clearly defines a very promising scenario for the coming years. And our operating cash generation has been sufficient for honoring our debt and investing in expansion, as well as in small and mid-sized acquisitions. In other words, our increasing operating cash flow should be sufficient for us to maintain or even accelerate our current growth pace, thus enabling Estacio to continue offering the best ROIC in the sector and increase generating value for its shareholders. So I'd now like to ask Mr. Melzi for his closing remarks. Thank you, Virgilio. I would like to give you a quick sum up before we go into our Q&A. On slide number 11, I wish to tell you about some of our points which gave us a very good quarter. We are growing in a healthy way, almost 70% above last year, with an expansion of margin of 340 base points in spite of the loss with the LLP. Our earnings per share doubling regarding the second half of 2011, as we did not need shares to finance our growth. Positive cash flow of 25 million reals, a growth of 57 million when compared to the same period the previous year. And all of this then, once again, a positive EVA, 15 million in this half year, showing that Estacio can deliver a result that more than makes up for the capital employed by shareholders. I'd also like to draw your attention to the growth of our FIES, because as we have said several times, our strategy is and has always been to use the FIES for those who really need it and not for those who just want it. Using this tool in a very responsible way, besides guarantee the correct destination of our taxes for those who really need it, we avoid adverse selections, and thus we make our student base more healthy. I would also like to remind you that the expansion of FIES in Estacio develops naturally in the same way as we manage to use all our strengths in management and capacity to organize processes to substantially reduce the average term for FIES receivable, which in this quarter was 88 days. So our FIES has begun to take off and reaching 30,000 students, and we now master the process, so much so that we don't have to suffer from cash flow because of the FIES. And as usual, we prefer to do things with quality and at the right time. This is why it takes a little bit more time. And we have an eye on the return for our shareholder, not only the short term. But as we recognize and understand that there is always a curiosity and a demand for short-term information, let me here speak a little bit about the scenario for 2012. As we know, we know that we have had strong expansion in the first half year, and we also know that our delinquency has been behaving better in this period, which will bring positive effects in the second semester. In this context, we can review our margin gain expectation for the year to a range between 300 and 350 base points instead of the 250 base points that we had been expecting up to now. And we still have open variables for the results of this year, like, for example, the funding and the renewal of our basis for the second semester. And the academic planning will define the costs, faculty costs for the second year. And although the improvement of delinquency, we are still above those amounts from last year. So it is always valid to say that there is still uncertainties in our projections. So talking a little bit about funding, we wish to have one more record in our selection process, this time with a growth of 15%, both on the on-premise and distance learning. If this trend is confirmed, we will not have problems for the growth of our students, net of acquisitions, of 5 to 7% in the on-premise segment and 40 to 50% on the remote learning, as we have seen in our stats today. And we also help to expand our earnings per share, since we do not have any movements which will justify as different expectations for the EBITDA and net income. We believe that our operating cash flow will continue to improve as we have shown in this first half year. I would like to also take this moment for once again reinforce our commitment with our expansion of our margin for this year. we are going to the sixth following semester of expansion of the EBITDA margin and transparency and clarity with which we treat our results, together with the predictability of our gains and the objectiveness of our planning strategy should leave no doubts regarding our capacity to achieve this operating target, and also with the potential of, for example, the expansion of demands coming from CS, the step up of greenfields and greater distance education interests will lead to an expansion. All our management is at this point now, trusting in what we do, and more than ever convinced that we are on the, in the right direction, and it is why that now, in 2012, we will continue working hard on our strategic plan to define the statute for 2020, opening up new pathways and preparing our organization to take up the leadership in higher education, as all of us have always dreamt, with sustainability, with responsibility, with patience, and with a lot of return for those who have believed in us. So these were our remarks, and now we can go on to the Q&A session. Thank you very much. So now we have our questions. If you wish for a question or ask a question, please press star one. When your question is answered, you may leave the queue by pressing star two. Please wait whilst we start our questions. Our first question comes from Bruno Giardino from Santander. You may proceed, sir. Good morning, Elsie and Virgilio. Congratulations. A question about the FIES. So you continue, let's say, with a more conservative posture regarding the FIES. So what do you think this will mean for your basis in the next few years? And I'd also like to know regarding the students in Rio de Janeiro, these new ones who have just entered, are they, can they have this financing? And perhaps you could elaborate on that. Well, Pedro, thank you very much for your question and your feedback. Well, for the time being, we don't have any projection, medium term, besides that one that we have given you the stats today, which is about 37 to 40,000 students in the FIES. Now, but what has been happening, and this is your second question, is stats until some months ago could not offer FIES to students in law and business management in Rio because of a restriction. There are many of them. There was a restriction which was not right from the legal point of view. This was corrected by the Ministry of Education. And now things have improved enormously. So what happens besides this change, which obviously increases the prospects for CS, what happens is now it becomes exponential. Students get to know about things, they trust the tool, they understand things better, so we have to make a big effort. We have already have 30 to 31,000, and in our visits, we continue to be very active to visit campuses in the region, and it is impressive the way we see, you know, whole schoolrooms full of CS students. It is really impressive to see how full they are. I cannot give you a full answer, but you know, this is homework for us to go into this more, but I can tell you that it has really taken off. And the important thing for all of you is that when we talk about the position that Estácio has taken, and in terms of being conservative, we're always harping on the same point and insisting that the position, first of all, it focuses on cash flow, because if Estácio had started off very quickly with a FIESP, as quickly as others did, perhaps we had, might have had serious cash flow problems because we were waiting for 200 to 300 days to receive a FIES. But now, What is happening is that as soon as we manage to do all our homework and to really improve our process, almost at the same time, simultaneously, we began to have this exponential increase in demand and in the adoption of the TS financing. And now we have a machine, a very organized process. This is why we have dozens, thousands, and this does not confuse things. So Istanbul continues to be conservative, but perhaps this attitude is responsible of giving FIES, the financing program for students, for more people. We want to give it to students who really need this financing, who could not carry on their studies because of financial problems. And even so, we will have a substantial increase of the student base at Istanbul in the next few months. So you think that 90 days, is this a recurrent standard that we will see in the next quarters? I think it is a trend, but I think the first and third quarters will always be more affected. That in this third quarter, it's much better than in the first. Now, the fact is that it will be seasonal until the process itself can become practically automatic. So the first and third quarters, the term should go up. The second and fourth, if everything works out well, we should be, I have about 90 days, yes. I hope that as time goes by, the process will improve to such an extent. Now I'm talking about red tape that we still have to have today to review things, might be such that this will be more regular or a little bit less seasonal. But I think it's already good news to bring this down below 90 days in the second and fourth quarters. Thank you for your answers. We have a question from Pedro Montenegro from BTG Pactual. You may proceed. Hello. I'd like to talk about the significant increase that you've had with your average ticket and also ask you to talk a little bit about the competitive scenario in Rio. What are the main reasons behind the price increase? Have your competitors... when your competitors are in a more deteriorated situation. So if this is not the reason, what led you to raise your tuition prices above inflation? Is this a more aggressive commercial policy or what? Thank you for your question. The increase of the ticket, about 10%, repeats the first quarter. It seems to be a trend. And it is a commercial policy in practice, or selling policy. It has happened all over Brazil to a higher or lesser degree. And it is due mainly to the fact that the Estácio students already realize that the service, the Estácio product and service, is seen in a different light. Therefore, there is a greater willingness to pay a little bit more in tuition fees than what would be paid to the competitors and what the competitors charge. This is true in Rio and in other places. In Rio, I think it is true, even more true, not because the others are bad or because all of them go bad, but because the statue here has a much greater reputation. Everything that the statue does in Rio, or in Brazil actually, occurs much more intensely in Rio de Janeiro because the brand is very well known, the exposure is great, and the statue is always standing out. So it's quite natural that there should be a greater demand. And what is happening is that our price area, our market area, also has been developing much more intelligence. So the analyses which we carry out nowadays are done course by course, market to market, demand, competition analysis, and therefore it is possible to do almost surgical interventions, which have generated, therefore, this increase slightly above inflation, which is a great victory for us all. However, this would not have been possible had we not had a positive interpretation of the society vis-a-vis the product that the statue delivers. In our studies with students and also prospects, the students already talk about the willingness to pay a higher ticket because of the academic material and the tablet and the convenience of the statue model. So we have a policy of making an annual adjustment. We did this in two phases this year, in January and repeated in July. July is not yet reflected in our results, which you've seen today. And besides these linear increases, there has been also localized interpretations and a little bit more aggressiveness, particularly for new students, where we have more freedom to do things. Thank you. And the second question, with the fees, could you say whether there might be some impact on the ticket, or there would there be an increase per course? And can we expect an impact on evasion in the next quarters because of the penetration of the fees? Yes, yes. I think undoubtedly the fees will bring an increase of tickets. This will happen for two reasons. First of all, as you have already said, obviously students now can study or follow courses or programs which they might possibly not have followed should there not be a program like this. So one of the theories that we are raising here is this is a theory. They might migrate from distance courses to graduation courses. So we are very strong now on the on-premise segment, and this might be happening now because, you know, it's natural. Somebody who might do a short-term course which has a long, low ticket now can do a bachelor's degree or engineering, which are longer courses because of all the labs and all the structure which is offered. And the second motive is now, as a possibility to finance their course, the student no longer has to be subject to discounts offered by competitors, particularly local competitors, not large competitors, because they offer programs of different quality as well. But especially in places, sometimes they sacrifice quality to offer a price well below ours. But now the student who has the possibility to finance their own studies through fees, there is no need to start bargaining and looking for discounts. So I think two important factors come into play here. The possibility of the student choosing their university or their college based on their own wishes and not because of the lower price will lead to the fact that the average ticket for the whole sector will be repositioned. And this is healthy for the whole sector. It's fair. And also regarding retention, well, we have had a slightly negative side in this quarter that we really talked about, but which was aversion, which happened in the semester. And our most valued theory proven in our test is that this, in fact, happened because we changed the way of approaching this. We do not expect students to stay 6 months delinquent with us to get a negative position. And this, by law, you have to wait for 90 days, and then we can do whatever we do. So now this student no longer has the stimulated to wait 180 days because his debt was just increased. So we have now a much healthier position. What is happening now at this moment? And please don't take this as a guidance because it has not yet been concluded. Our renewal rate, which happens between the first and second semester, now is compared to the last year is only 6 percentage points higher. Historically, we do 85-86% of renewals, and 87 is great. What we have seen at this moment is that it is between 5 and 6 percentage points above. I don't think it will finish like this because we have managed to improve this renewal. There will be an increase in this renewal, which in part will occur because there has been this cleaning up, let's say, of the base, but it is of course, the CS will help. At the end of the renewal process, we probably will carry out a study to see how we can compare the student who has CS and the one that does not have a CS regarding renewal. But empirically, just through observation, I can already tell you that this will bring a positive effect. And CS, as I have said, has come to help us. And help the student get his diploma. So not only will the university grow and have the benefits, but society as a whole will reap the benefits. Thank you. Well, Virginia, just to add a little bit to your question, yes, CS is certainly helping and is now bringing in the good results in for the second semester in terms of LLP. So this is coming from the provisioning of the CS and through the Vision Duke. So the Vision Duke, about 55% of the basis of our students coming through the Vision Duke, and this has the greatest cost, and this will be paid in the short term in the first half of the year. So the student has been financed, and this provisioning is done in a semester. Now, the benefit only comes 180 days later. The student will not be delinquent, so we are expecting a good benefit of the FIAs in the loan loss provision in the second half of the year. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Luciano Campos from HSBC. You may proceed. Good morning. My questions practically have been answered, but from a more static question, or about any company that is considering the FIAS more seriously, what is the difference from an economic point of view if you cut discounts that you offered before in other kinds of situation that you used to offer discounts, something which would lower the price that you could charge, and the use of the CS? So should you cut the discount first and then into CS, or can you come into CS more strongly and then cut the discounts? Does this have a difference or not? Well, Luciano, thank you for your question. No, because it's illegal. So how does this work? In fact, what we have here are agreements, and agreements with companies. We have contracts with Petrobras or Vale and many other companies, and the employees of these companies who have a contract with us have rights to these agreements. No way could we not offer good conditions to them, but just because they can get shares. But on the other hand, we have always had in our sector scholarships, and a scholarship is something different. A student comes to study with us, and his classroom has had always a lot of social responsibility. A student comes to us and asks for a scholarship. That's not an agreement, it's not a discount. But a student who might ask for a scholarship because they had no financial possibility to go to college, and a statue could do as it does this based on its social responsibility, now the student can use the FIAS, which is more dignifying for a student, for a person from our society who wants to study, who does not have to be asking for loans to or for scholarships to go to the university. So there might be then a positive aspect, yes, because instead of offering scholarships for students who have difficulties because a student loses a job or there's an illness in a family, and now there is an exchange of currency, which is fierce, but we still have our social responsibility, allowing students to come to the university to honor their commitment to have a diploma and improve their life. So I would say that there's a little impact, but it can happen. And if it happens again, fulfilling our social obligations, fears, or not the kind of opportunism, we are very, very responsible when we are dealing with fears. Thank you. Just to remind you that for questions, just press star 1. Our next question comes from Patricia Meireles from Procorretora. Continue. Good morning. I'd like to go back to a point that is very relevant. The possibility of FIES improving its distance learning and technology. Do you think that what you expected in growth for the distance learning can be affected by the FIES? Or do you think that you have a very specific group that prefers the distance learning? Good question. This is very through observation and empirical. This is something very recent. It's just happening now. What we have been able to see with a great degree of certainty is that there has been a migration of more added value. There has been a migration to bachelor degrees, to health courses, engineering, and I think that this reflects the needs of Brazil. Brazil needs engineers, and it needs doctors, nurses. So I think that this is something more concrete that we can speak about. Now, answering your question regarding technicians for bachelor's degrees, 2.5 to 4 or 5 years. On the other hand, technology professionals also, it's also very important from the convenience point of view. Everybody needs some people need a higher education diploma to be candidates or to get a job. So we also have a very strong group of people who want to do this. So what has happened is that we are experiencing a growth of about 50% now in funding. We should have this base should have grown about 50% by the end of the year. We do not know yet how much of this growth of 15% is we don't have a reason for this. Some who might have done the distance education might be migrating to the on-campus segment because they have access to the fees, and this is an advantage. Or if it also reflects that this cluster has not launched new programs in this quarter. We will have 4 to 6 new courses. I won't tell you what they are yet, but we will be launching in our distance learning program, which will also contribute to increase the number of students. This will be at the end of the year or 2013. Now, my opinion, but I don't have any data to support this, is that the growth of distance learning is strong because it is practical, because of the access is very good for those who are not present in a large center where there is no university, for example. So I think the effect that will occur of students who are going to want to do the on-campus studies might be mitigated when there is a greater penetration of distance learning. And our case with the expansion of our centers. But it will take another half year so we can interpret this properly. And the good thing is that this is a natural hedge. We are fine on both sides. And something which I always say regarding Estácio is Estácio has a convergent model between the two segments, the courses, the lessons, the classes, the class programs are very much the same. The student can migrate from one to the other very easily. So no matter where the growth will come from, Stasio will take these opportunities. Thank you very much, Denny. Our next question comes from Mr. Thiago Matheus from Itaú BBA. You may proceed.
Good morning. I would like to go back to the CS again. We are seeing a significant improvement in this program regarding the payment flow for you. Obviously, this is a much more healthy program for CS today. I feel that you used to use this as a retention program and not for finding more students. Will this be changing now?
Well, as we feel more confident in our cash flow and as this is organized, certainly we will use it to find more students, but always focusing on those students who need it. The student who can pay, who can honor his tuition fees, we prefer him to do that. The student who really cannot do a university course but could do through FIES, obviously, will be the focus of our attention. And Thiago, it's important to mention the only reason which has led Estácio to improve so much the average term to receive FIES is because Estácio has some leverages, some elements which are the result of almost 4 years of hard work. We have such an organized service center which allows us to centralize a process. Such a complicated process like this is a great asset to have one sole system in all our units, which is very difficult to have. It's difficult to have a technology system like we have today. Also, helps us to do this and to have a management culture which allow us to very quickly manage to put this on the agenda of all our meetings and have our key performance indicators and do all of this very quickly. This has also allowed us to go from a very bad scenario which we had with the FIES. I mean, truthfully, if it would take 250 days to receive FIES's cash, that would be absolutely chaotic. I mean, it's something, Estácio certainly could not do that for, in terms of cash flow. But now we're much more confident, we have much more freedom, and we now can say with our marketing director, now we will alter the FIES and give it to those who really need it. And just one more point, because this is an interesting question. When we use FIES to attract new people, there is a side effect which not everybody is necessary or is prepared to do that, but Estácio is. When everybody begins to use FIES to attract a group which, in other words, would not be able to go to college, it attracts low-income people with an information gap which is much higher vis-à-vis the average group which was already going to university. This is not true for Estácio because we have had the same groups for more than 40 years. We will have special lessons for this lower-income group. We will make them comfortable and make them feel certain of themselves in a university environment. We will know how to lead this group to work and feel good at the end of their course. So our concepts at the Ministry of Education will be preserved. To do this, as you have mentioned, is very important for the growth of the university. But if you are not ready to deal with this lower-income bracket and help them, this is very important. This is not our case because since the first day of Estácio, we have always had very high criteria. We will see the recent change of the government and fanning the flames, bringing to 7% to 5.5% the FHJ DUC. Do you see any other change, interesting change regarding what can happen to the companies in short term? Well, our PhD at the FIES is our Virgilio. He studies the technical questions. I think he can comment a little bit on this. I think this percentage is fair. And our other master is Oswaldo. He's not here. But in that policy of bringing more officers to the call, he will be here on the following calls. He is a person in Brasília and actively participates in the writing of FIES policies. I think, and I also have been to these meetings,
the Ministry of Education. There is no mention of changes in CS today. This has been positive. I think Virginia could say a few words about that. It has been positive for the sector. It was fair, correct. And I do not see anything which could happen in average term. What I see in my conversations with Brasilia is that Brasilia really wants to make the program work outright. They spare no effort to make CS and be appropriately applied in the universities throughout Brazil. And therefore, we certainly applaud the efforts of the ministry. Perhaps Virgilio has something to say. Well, Tiago, this question is the haircut of 563%. I think if the question was just in the model, looking at the historical delinquency that you have in the segment, it's much more an adjustment of the 7%, which was overloading the institution. So it's much more reasonable to talk about this 5.63 of the loan loss provision. But regarding the expansion of the CS and the better cost of the units and the better our will to enter the CS in a responsible way. But Joan's not here. But it could be a trend, because why doesn't the government talk about CS also for distance learning? They are testing this. It might be a trend also because of the conversations which we are having. This has already been talked about in Brasilia, so it would be very good for the sector as a whole. Just to add, last week we had, and I mentioned already, our annual teachers forum, the faculty forum. It's an annual event that is SASU organizes. We bring about 500 or 600 teachers, professors, and they come here at the Windsor Hotel for 3 days, and we discuss the future of the SASU and of teaching. And one speaker was the president of IAPI, which is the regulator organ in the Ministry of Education, Professor Luis Claudio, who is a brilliant person, really brilliant person, and he delivered a very high-level lecture to the professors and teachers. And when we spoke about the government strategy for higher education, more specifically, he mentioned Pro Uni and FIESPI. We did praise, and he said he's delighted with what is happening and happened up to now, and he conveyed to us that not only will there not be changes, significant changes, but there might be even some step-up of the program, although he did not tell us specifically regarding which changes. But his or their commitment in the ministry to make a CS a program which will change the face of Brazil in higher education is undeniable. Thank you. Thank you very much for your answers. Reminding you that for questions, all you have to do is press star 1, and to remove your question from the line, press star 2. As there are no questions, I would like to ask Mr. Nunzi for his final remarks. You may proceed, sir. Well, as we have said throughout the call, we are very happy with the SASU results, because this shows the capacity of returning very good results with sustainability, with responsibility, and this is something that we have always stood for in SASU. I would like to thank you all who have listened to this message, because although, you know, I know that you have understanding and patience, so our commitment and motivation to surprise you positively, all of you, the analysts, our investors, our shareholders, this motivation grows day by day, and it's great to know that we are going in the right direction. So I'd like to thank you all for participating in our call, and thank you all for the great relationship which you have allowed us to have, and we have been able to develop with you all throughout the last cycles. Our investor relations area is always at your disposal. We have a very interesting agenda, and we wish to be in contact with you and Virgilio and all our other officers. Thank you, and we hope to see you at our next call for the next quarter. Thank you very much, and have a good day. Dispatcher's call, dispatcher participation's call, is closed. Thank you for your participation, and have a very good day.